In this episode of My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State.
There are kids from the country that I could not understand.
Really?
And they could not understand me.
Oh my goodness.
So we had to have some interpreters in there.
Some English to English interpreter?
Yeah, to interpret between Southern and Southern Michigan.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Keith Rushing moves from Atlanta to the southern border of Michigan, only to discover he doesn't actually speak Michigan English. Desiree Holly decides to move away from Detroit to give living in the small town of Hastings, Michigan, a try.
Filling each other out, it might not go into anything, you know, so.
Well, you did bring your luggage.
Well, it was yeah. It was a trial run.
And Andrew Bautista moves from L.A. to West Michigan and is shocked to discover that Grand Rapids is packed full of members of the notorious Crips gang.
It was just me and my mom. I'm like, Mom, like, dude, the Crip population here is crazy.
My Michigan Move, up next on My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State. I'm Rob Prince. Moving is inherently a challenging process involving a lot of struggle to get a new life set up and make new friends. And moving to Michigan is no exception, especially when you're moving from a very big city to a very small town, like our first storyteller did. Keith Rushing moved from Atlanta, Georgia, population 6 million plus, to Camden, Michigan, population 500 plus, to teach marching band at the high school. His experience was the closest thing I've ever heard to a real-life version of the Music Man. He shared this story at our July 16, 2025 open mic live event at Ramshackle Brewing in Jonesville, Michigan. Here's Keith.
I moved to Michigan when I was 26.
Okay.
Grew up in Atlanta, and I'm a band director, went to IU, whatever. Met my ex there,
okay,
and then we ended up moving to Michigan. So I got a job at one of the smallest schools in the world, and it's called Camden Frontier. It's south of here. It's right on the Indiana-Ohio border. The school I was at was very diverse. It was a part of Atlanta where all nationalities of people came and got their start because their families were already there. And it was said that 45 dialects of language were spoken at the school I was working at.
You were the music teacher there.
I was a band director
there. Band director in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, at that place.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they wanted me to start teaching science classes. So I don't want to teach science. So I decided that I was ready to move up here after several interviews. I got up here in the summer. There's no air. Everywhere in Atlanta has air. No air. It was like 95 degrees outside. We had a little baby. She was just screaming nonstop.
Oh.
My ex was screaming at me. I bought every fan I could find. Still didn't know no good. Eventually, I got to school, and they said, you have 8 kids in band. So, okay. I had had over 100 that I was marching to their school. So I got on the phone. And I called every family that had had a kid in band. And I ended up with 20.
Wow. Good for you.
So it was pretty good. I didn't have to play the Mozart octet that I was planning to do for marching band.
Wait, this is marching band.
Marching band.
Marching band had 8 kids in it?
Marching band had 8.
Oh, that's hard to make a letter out of 8 kids.
You know. I think you can make a C.
You can make a C, maybe an L.
You can't do the F.
And what were the school letters?
CF, Camden Frontier, as they say it here, Camden Frontier.
Okay, so you got 20, you got up to 20 kids.
Got up to 20.
What year are we talking here when you first
96.
Arrived? Okay, all right.
You know, I'm still a newcomer and haven't been totally accepted to this area.
Yeah.
So I get the kids. I try to teach them a warm-up. We can't even get through, like, the warm-up scale. It's rough. I mean, the kids had great attitudes. They're all wanting to work real hard and do the right thing, which I wasn't used to, but
they were. That was novel. Okay.
They're trying. They just don't have the skills to do it yet. So I'm looking through all the music, trying to figure out what song we can do. Is there a song out there that only uses so many notes?
Yeah, and nobody knows, so they can't tell if you're playing it wrong.
There is a song. I did have to teach Star Spangled Banner and their school fight song, which is On Wisconsin. Dan, 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 dan. Those came off okay. But then for marching band, we did one song for marching band. That was We Will Rock You.
Which is, this is about the last thing you're prepared to actually do.
And you can actually put
a little
harmony in
there. I feel like that song is over-promising a little bit.
We rock the butt,
huh? Yeah. Wow, that's great.
All right, so when I would have camp in Atlanta, the stadiums there are massive. I mean, the high school stadiums, they're 3-4 stories tall, concrete. And the nice stadiums had concrete on both sides and artificial turf and all that. And I get to the stadium, and it's a set of bleachers about yay wide. And then they had a press box, you know, half of a pole barn, giant outhouse maybe kind of like a thing. And
somewhere between a pole barn and a giant outhouse.
And where I grew up, everywhere you looked, there were people everywhere. And I got up there and I looked around and I saw 20 kids in front of me, a school with no one going in or out, and nothing on the horizon.
Literally and metaphorically.
Corn. There was maybe a road that you couldn't really see the road because there's a little hedge going on. And the first thing I saw that whole day was an Amish cart going by with an Amishman pulling his wagon full of hay and his giant horses. And I'm like, where the heck am I now?
Does that guy have any kids who want to play in the marching band?
So yeah, I suffered some serious culture shock. I was from the South, and I had a thick Southern accent at the time. And there were kids from a country that I could not understand.
Really?
And they could not understand me.
Oh, my goodness.
So we had to have some interpreters in there.
English interpreter?
Yeah, to interpret between Southern and Southern Michigan.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
The first football game. I had been practicing with the band. I was really nervous. You know, I'm young, full of piss and vinegar. I'm wanting to make it sound good. And it's just rough. It's rough. So at halftime, I go up into the press box and watch the band play. They had a drum major. She was a little whippersnapper. She got it done really well.
Now, is this We Will Rock You?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been working with the band on tone production, right, fingerings, trying to play in tune, all that stuff. It was the absolute worst thing I'd ever heard in my life.
Can you recreate it for us?
Something like that.
So sounds a little like a goat.
Yeah,
and he
kinda like a goat, maybe a chainsaw that won't start right. I don't know.
Oh, like boy,
it was rough. It was a closed press box. There were steps leading down to the bottom door. After halftime, I getting ready to go out. I get to the bottom. I open the door. There's about 10 to 15 band parents standing there. Like, oh, crap. they're gonna lay into me. And they go, Keith, that's the best the band has ever sounded.
What did the kids think of this, of the experience? Did they talk to you afterwards?
They thought it was great.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they were very happy with it.
And what did you say to them afterward?
I told them they did a great job.
So you lied, straight.
Well, okay. Lying is relative. Especially in music.
Got it.
It depends on where you came from.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, you know, it is subjective.
It is subjective.
Music is subjective. Right.
Yeah. I was there for 3 years. By the time I left, we had 50 kids in band. We were playing whole suite and E flat. We were doing really well. And then this job at Hillsdale opened up, and I was living in Hillsdale. So I came to Hillsdale, and that's town down there. And I've been there since 2000.
Does anything go through your mind now when you're in your car listening to the radio and We Will Rock You comes on? Does it bring, what sort of feelings does it give you?
I have been teaching We Will Rock You to beginning bands for a long time. And I don't want to listen to it.
It ruins.
I really don't want to listen. You know, kids at school say, I don't like that song, or whatever song it is. I say, I don't like Mary Had a Little Lamb, Hot Cross Buns, Old MacDonald Had a Band, or We Will Rock You. I don't like any of these songs, but I play them year after year for 30 years. You're going to play it too. So, yeah. I appreciate where the song came from. It's just after years and years of hearing it played every way wrong possible. There can't be a new play that I've heard for it to be played wrong.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, after a full day at work, you hear thousands of wrong notes. Some days, I go home, no music. I want no music. Just turn it off.
Keith Rushing, he shared that story at our July 16, 2025 open mic live event at Ramshackle Brewing in Jonesville, Michigan. Thanks again to Zach Bigelow, Andrew Stella, and all of the awesome people down at Ramshackle Brewing Company who welcomed us so graciously for that open mic event. I miss you guys, and we'll be back down there to see you again real soon. This is My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, the My Michigan Move episode. I'm Rob Prince. Would you like to hear awesome true stories from Michigan live and in person, and maybe share your own story for a chance to get it on the radio? Well, you are in luck. We have many free open mic live events planned in March and beyond. We'll be at Schuler Books in Okemos on Thursday, March 12 at 6 p.m. Then we'll be back in Hastings at the Hastings Public Library on Thursday, March 26 at 6 p.m. Then, 2 days later, we're in Grand Rapids at The Lit in downtown Grand Rapids on Saturday, March 28 at 7 p.m. And then in April, we're hosting our first ever open mic live event in Lansing at The Fledge on Thursday, April 9 at 6 p.m. There's more information about those free events, the show in general, and our podcast at mymichiganstory.com. That's mimichiganstory.com. But you don't have to come to one of our events to share your story. You can message us anytime at story@mymichiganstory.com to let us know you have a story you'd like to share. We can record your story over the phone or meet with you if you're in our neck of the woods. We're looking for true stories that happened in Michigan and happened to you, and we'd love to hear from you. Again, that email address is story@mymichiganstory.com. Moving from a big city to rural Michigan can be quite a culture shock, and even more so when you don't look like most of the people in your town. As our next storyteller found out, Desiree Holly was quite content living in the Detroit neighborhood of Palmer Woods when she decided to move to the small town of Hastings, Michigan for love. And in the process, she saw what it's like to be in the very, very small minority in a very small town. She shared this story at our December 9, 2025 Open Mic Live event in the Hastings Public Library in Hastings, Michigan. Here's Desiree.
So during that time, living in beautiful Palmer Woods, which I lived in, and it's a magical place, our reunion came up. So this was in 2016. I went to East Catholic High School, and it was our 45th, and my girlfriend said, "Hey, let's go to the 45th. I said, "Right on, let's go." So we went, and we were having a nice time, and so this guy comes up to me. And I know the guy, you know, we were in homeroom together, the 9th and 10th grade, real cute Italian-looking guy, and you know, and he always just said, "Hi, Desiree, hi." And I said, "Okay, hi, Joe." So then he comes up to me and says, "I had a crush on you all through high school." And I was like, "What? Oh, ain't that cute?" So we went and got us a drink and came back. And so I had been widowed for about 3.5 years. And I loved to dance. So a real great dance song came on. So I went up to Joe and I said, "Joe, you want to dance?" So it was a crowd of classmates standing around. So Joe looks this way. Joe looks that way. Joe looks this way, Joe looks that way. And I was like, "What is he?" And he says, "All right, I'll do it." So we got to ourselves, "Well, white guy, you kept the beat, you did great," you know? So we connected, and then the next day, as with Catholic schools, we always have a mass. We go to a mass. So we were at St. Mary's downtown. And so before mass, we got a chance to talk. So he was telling me that he had recently purchased a home in Hastings, Michigan. And I looked at him, "Hastings, Michigan?" I've lived in Michigan. Let's see, I had lived there 38 years before I left. I said, "I never heard of Hastings, Michigan." So we continued to talk, and we got closer. And then I said, "You know, it's a beautiful day. I'm going to make a ride up to this Hastings, Michigan." So I go out 96 and, you know, and I'm coming up, and then I hit 69 and I get off the freeway in Charlotte, and then I'm driving out 79. I'm like, "What the heck is this Hastings? When am I going to get to Hastings?" So then I get, you know, to where 37 connects, and, you know, he gave me great directions and got there. And so then I pulled into his driveway in his home, and I got out the car, and he told me that he sub-teaches. So he was teaching that day, and he said, "I'll leave the side door open for you. Just go ahead in." So I left my luggage and I say, "Well, you know, I'm going to make me a little walk around." So I made me a little walk around, and I said, "Dang, if this don't remind me of Athens, Alabama." You know, the big clock tower, and it's small, and it's very quaint, and I saw a lot of white people, and then I didn't see very many black people or Hispanic people. I said, "Okay." So I was saying, like, "Well, you know, we're just like filling each other out. It might not go into anything, you know, so."
Well, you did bring your luggage.
Well, it was just, yeah, well, it was a trial run.
That luggage could go right back in the car.
Right. So we continued on, and our relationship got stronger, and Joe proposed to me, and we married in 2019. I really prayed about coming to Hastings. And the Lord said, "Make that move." So we came. We have a really great relationship. Joe really backs me up. I had lived here maybe a year and a half, 2 years. I didn't have any real friends, you know.
Year and a half, 2 years, you didn't have any friends?
Yeah. You know, what I've noticed is when you get older and when you move from places to place, it's harder and harder to make friends because people in those communities already are set. They have their friends, you know, they grew up with them. They entered, you know, everybody know everybody in Hastings. They either some married or they're distant cousins or something. And I was particularly an outsider, really. You know, I came from Detroit, didn't have any family here. Joe didn't, other than his daughter, he didn't have any family here. And then he didn't grow up here. So we were kind of on the outskirts. So I prayed and asked the Lord to give me some friends, and he gave me two great women that are my friends today and just encouraged me, and I was so thankful. And then from that, there was a gnawing thing in me about being a minority. And that's when COVID hit, we were approached by the priest at the Emmanuel Episcopal Church, and they were doing a study on the dismantle of racism. So she asked me if I would like to join the group. They did it by Zoom call, and Joe said, okay. And we did it, and we read all these different books, and people were asking me questions. And when I talked with our group, it was about 15 of us, I told them, I am me. I don't speak for every African American. You know, what my experiences are they are my experiences, and they may be different from someone else's experience, even though they're African American. So they would ask me questions about redlining, had I been called the N-word, and I said, oh yeah. My mom tried to get a job. She was at Wayne State. She wanted to get a job as a clerk at Hudson's, J.L. Hudson's. And they told her she was too dark. She could do the elevator, but she couldn't be a sales clerk. And my mom, having the vernacular that she had, she said, you kiss where the sun don't shine. And she went on back to school. So, you know, I've enveloped all of those things. So I wanted to see a change in this area. And for people, as I would walk around, I would see spurts of people of color, but it was like they were hidden. So
what do you mean by that, that they were hidden?
Well, you know, come out, wherever you are. It was like...
they weren't like public personalities?
No, they were not public.
They were keeping a low profile.
Keeping a very, very low profile due to certain things that had happened to certain ones and families, or they had heard certain things and they wanted just to live their lives and go to work and come home and not be harassed. So they kept a very, very low profile. And I was like, you know, this just ain't right. You know, this just not right. So we had our first, and we call it Lift Every Voice. So I got that not just from the song, but because of what I had seen with people of minorities, not just African-Americans, but all the minorities that seem to be here, do not feel they have a safe place to tell their story.
Really?
Yeah. So
what are they afraid of happening?
Well, some of them not even telling them stories, just the awareness of who they are, there's been a backlash. There's been harassment. So when we began to come together to talk about, I was talking to the Lord about it, and I said, you know, Lord, African-American History Month, when you got 0.07% of minority all month of African-American history, that ain't gonna work. That's just not gonna work. Let's just be honest, it's not. So I said, let's do multicultural. Let's talk about all of the different ethnicities and where people come from and give them a platform and call it Lift Every Voice. So our first was in 2023. We started off with Ed. He talked about being privileged. And it was such a poignant story. Him and another white young man talked about that. Then we had Mexican immigrants talk. We had Native Americans come and talk. And it really blessed me because the community just poured out. We had 80 people in this library for those talks. It was so funny because at the meeting, I got real quiet. And so I don't know if it was Ed or somebody said, why are you real quiet? I said, because you know this community. You are a Caucasian person. So I must listen to what you have to say so that we can entreat people and come together. Can't be my way. You know, we got to lull them in. You know, and this was God's doing. And I said that. I said, this is God's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. And I tried to tell my African-American friends, nothing is going to happen to you. You're going to be safe. You're going to be fine if you come. And they just would not. So we didn't win that battle, but, you know, we try to continue to win on and open it up. And I'm just so grateful to the library, to the staff here, to the Hastings community that have come out and have celebrated us and to show and welcome diversity and different cultures and ethnicities here in Hastings, and it's just been wonderful.
Desiree Holly, she shared that story at our December 9, 2025 Open Mic Live event in the Hastings Public Library in Hastings, Michigan. Thanks so much again to Barbara Haywood of the Hastings Public Library for hosting us in their lovely venue. It may seem like there's not that much difference between different parts of the United States anymore. You can walk into any number of chain stores or drive down any number of suburban streets that look more or less the same as the stores and streets in cities and towns hundreds of miles away. But nevertheless, there are still some linguistic differences across the country, such as the battle between pop and soda, or pasties and pasties, which are two extremely different things that are spelled exactly the same and are only pronounced differently. When our next storyteller moved to Michigan, he discovered that we use a phrase here that has a dramatically different meaning in his hometown of Los Angeles, like the most different meaning a phrase could have. Andrew Bautista shared this story at our November 21, 2025 Open Mic Live event at The Lit in downtown Grand Rapids. Here's Andrew.
I am from California. So I got here 2023. I visited where I go now, Calvin, for the first time in the summer. I don't know anything about sports, right? So where I'm from, there's these two gangs called the Bloods and the Crips. And the Crip, you know, the Bloods, their big thing is that, oh, they only wear red, and the Crips only wear blue. And they say, I bleed blue. So when I got over here, I hear, like, people saying this all the time. And I was like, whoa, what is going on with the Crip population over here? Like, because, like, back home, usually it's, like, you know, younger, like, Hispanics like myself, you know, like, it's not usually, like, you guys. So when I got here and everybody's like, oh yeah, we bleed blue, I was like, it was just me and my mom. I'm like, mom, like, dude, the crip population here is crazy. Like, I was getting nervous because, like, Calvin's colors are like red and gold, so I'm like, I have to get rid of everything that's red. And then she's like, no, like, it's the Detroit Lions, they're blue, that's what they say. And I'm like, oh, okay. But I thought it was just, like, really intense over here where just everybody's like, yeah, we bleed blue. I'm like, whoa, like, I thought, I didn't know extended over here, but it just turns out I had to, like, get updated on my sports lingo.
Andrew Bautista, he shared that story at our November 21st, 2025 Open Mic Live event at The Lit in downtown Grand Rapids. Thanks so much for listening to this edition of My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, the My Michigan Move episode. Today's episode was edited by myself, Rob Prince. My Michigan Story is presented by WKAR in East Lansing, Michigan. Would you like to hear awesome true stories from Michigan live and in person, and maybe share your own story for a chance to get it on the radio? Well, you are in luck. We have many free open mic live events planned in March and beyond all around Michigan. We'll be in Schuler Books in Okemos on Thursday, March 12 at 6 p.m. And then in April, we're hosting our first ever open mic live event in Lansing at The Pledge on Thursday, April 9 at 6 p.m. There's more information about those free events, the show in general, and our podcast at mymichiganstory.com. That's mimichiganstory.com. Remember, I can't tell my Michigan story without your Michigan story. So submit your story today at mymichiganstory.com.